What do you do when you know that you know that you know that you're wrong?
Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner.
And I'm Leah Gilmore.
And that must mean it's time for Cultural Crossroads.
That's right. Another month of wonderful cultural stuff.
And we came back with an incredible piece that kind of starts our conversation off by Sun Ra, because we are going to delve into the world of Afrofuturism here.
Oh, yeah.
The first part of this program. And we are joined in studio. We have two incredible people with us.
We do.
Black Star's in the house.
Peace and light, Black Star right here.
Black Star's
good to have
right.
you with us. Baltimore-based DJ, producer, singer, artist, produced Baltimore Club classics like Rider Girl, Hands Up, Thumbs Down, and Tote It. Next release, the Trinity EP, is coming out Monday.
Yeah.
And he has done pieces for artists across this country, huge named artists.
That's right.
Have picked up the Baltimore sound as part of
That's
their sound.
Right. He's made Baltimore very proud.
Yeah. And Itasha Womack joins us by phone, author, filmmaker, dancer, and author of the book Afrofuturism, the World of Black Sci-Fi and Fantasy. And Natasha, welcome. Good to have you with us as well.
Thank you.
Hi, Natasha. It's thrilling
Yatasha.
To... Yatasha. That's even better. It's great to meet you.
Oh, it's a pleasure. This is exciting.
It's very exciting.
And as you hear the conversation unfold, you can join us at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Tweet me at Mark Steiner. You can log on to our Facebook pages and... have at it there, but 410-319-8888 as we kind of explore this world of Afrofuturism, which we've done a little bit about in the past, and it's just such an exciting thought and concept, the idea that began in the 1990s. Right. Why don't we let Yatasha kind of lead us off?
Yeah, I will. Yatasha, I actually have a question for you before you lead us off, because I am from the school of like Parliament and Funkadelic, and LaBelle and Sun Ra. They were all a little before me. So does Afrofuturism kind of build on the foundation that they began?
Yes, it does. And actually, Parliament Funkadelic and Sun Ra and LaBelle and Earth, Wind & Fire, they're all referenced as really the founders of sorts of what we now call Afrofuturism.
Yeah, where did that term come from?
Well, the term was created by a culture critic named Mark Berry, who in the early 90s was one of several people who recognized that there was a relationship between science fiction and black culture, not to mention a lot of people who were just very excited about science fiction who were black but didn't see their images in the films and a lot of the literature that was created. And yet there's a lineage and a culture of people of African descent who were either creating science fiction or expressing their interest in science and technology through the arts. Parliament Funkadelic and the whole mythology that they created with the starship or really the mothership and so forth.
I
it's
love it.
One example of that. Yeah.
With Sun Ra, that great quote from Sun Ra, "I never wanted to be part of planet Earth,
right?
But I'm compelled to be here. So anything I do for this planet is because the master creator of the universe is making me do it. I am of another dimension. I am on this planet because people need me."
There you go.
Right.
Sun Ra was way ahead. I don't know if you say ahead of his time because we're futurism, but so it's hard to say.
It's both.
But it's fascinating. Yeah, please continue, Yatasha.
Yeah, well, Sun Ra is really interesting. Of course, he came of age in my hometown of Chicago, which
I like. Yeah.
But he is always referenced by people who are in literature, people who are visual artists. He may well be more popular now than he ever was when he was creating music, because so much of his poetry, his art, his music and his approach to looking at life is frequently referenced in a lot of the newer materials that artists are creating today.
Right.
But, you know, Afrofuturism, a lot of times people ask me, what is it? And I like to say that it's the intersection between black culture, technology, the imagination, and liberation. And whether you're really into sci-fi or not, I think that people can look at the role of the imagination in black culture to really transcend your circumstances.
Oh, what? So well said.
Really?
Yeah.
So well said, yes.
Blackstar, I'm curious, because I mean, you're of a younger generation as well.
Yeah.
And this is kind
much
of
much younger.
Which is where it's coming from.
It is.
Right?
Yeah, you can say.
Or how it keeps going, or how it perpetually keeps going.
Exactly, exactly. Right. I was just speaking with a friend the other day, and we were saying how past, present, future is one, you know.
I so love it. Your trinity.
Exactly.
Your
exactly.
trinity.
Past,
right.
present, future, mind, body, spirit, you know. Like, you know, that's the holy trinity. And that's what I'm expressing in the music. And letting them know the dimensions of one, you know.
I mean, so do you feel consciously like part of a movement or of an artistic movement, like this Afrofuturistic world? You feel, do you feel part of it?
I feel
consciously,
subconsciously a part of a way, way bigger picture. Like, you know how they it is that
right.
God, what God has in mind for us is way beyond our imagination. Or what we can ever imagine. And the term Afrofuturism is pretty new to me. But I knew the culture, but I just never was familiar with the title of it. You know, I knew the culture from, like, you know, Funkadelic and Sun Ra and Patti LaBelle, but I never actually researched. I'm starting to, you know, put the puzzle pieces in place and saying, wow, I was digging this style all my life. And,
right. it was your style before you had a label for it.
Exactly.
It was already there.
Exactly.
But
right.
what's interesting about that, Black Star, is I did the same thing when we talked about Afrofuturism and being from another generation. Mm-hmm. I was a huge, huge Prince fan and Funkadelic and LaPel. And, you know, these are how I learned to sing. I used to imitate Patti LaBelle, you know, all the time, you know. Not well. And then I listened to your wonderful song, The River.
The River. Okay.
And the influences that Prince had on you.
Mm-hmm.
And that you, I think your EP is coming out with an acoustic guitar version of When Doves Cry. How do you see, it was difficult for me to see it too as a thing, mm-hmm. as a big, this is Afrocentrism, I mean futurism.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see your place in it and how, making it grow, or just your place?
In my place? In, well, I am a part of evolution, you know. If you think about the word me, the two letters involved in the word me is M-E, and that stands for to me, manifesting evolution.
Oh,
you know,
wonderful.
So when people ask me, who am I? I say, I am me. And then I break it down to them and let them know what me and who me is, manifesting evolution. So my part I play is to evolve what was already there and kind of sort of expand the perception on all things I mm-hmm. kind of sort of engage into, you know. And I would say that would be the way I describe my flow.
Manifest the evolution. It sounds good to me.
The thing about it, my mom used to listen to Prince and Funkadelic in the mornings,
yes.
like we getting ready for school, but I kind of sort of didn't like it back then, you know, because I was always hearing it. You know,
right.
So, but as I got older, you know, I got the comparisons, the Prince, and so right. I said, man, how y'all compare me to Prince? I ain't this Black Star. Like, and then I just started to accept it and allow it to flow and it turned into me actually understanding me. I'm manifesting
right.
evolution.
And you then know, you so. Become your own self.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
It's a wonderful thing from our ancestors that, you know, we learn to become us.
Exactly.
From that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yatasha, tell us a little bit about your book.
Sure. Well, the book is really geared for people who were Afrofuturists and didn't realize they were Afrofuturists.
Mm-hmm.
As Black Star and as you mentioned, you know, a lot of these ideas, whether they're philosophical or they're tied into the music, you were familiar with, but had not heard of the term itself.
Right.
So when I discovered the term a couple years ago, I thought it would be great to write a book on it, because sometimes people, it just gives them a greater sense of belonging when they see that not only is there a culture that's a part of Afrofuturism, but there's a lineage to it as well. Whether you want to talk about, you know, some of the technology from ancient African cultures, you know, with the Dogon or the Egyptians and some of their perspectives, or if you want to look at the fact that W.E.B. Du Bois wrote a science fiction story, or that
right.
Martin Luther
that's
King
right,
was
you sure did.
Star Trek fan.
Or,
right. I mean,
King did what? I'm sorry, we talked over you. I'm sorry, King did what?
Oh, he's a Star Trek fan.
Uh-huh.
Right. So am I.
Yeah, Yeah, and he actually convinced the woman who played Uhura to keep her role when she wanted to quit, because he felt like she was such an inspiration to people. And
that's what we didn't see black folks in sci-fi.
Exactly.
You know, we loved it, but where were we?
Right. And so, you know, the fact that so many people are excited about creating images of ourselves in the future is not a new interest. Mm-hmm. And so in putting together the book, I was really hoping to show the many approaches that people of African descent have had to creating what we might call science fiction or fantasy, or look at some of their perspectives on, say, time travel, and looking at a lot of the newer work that people are doing today as well. Even the technology innovations in hip-hop, using, you know, the breakbeat and sampling, or looking at house music. All of these are reflections of interest that some of the futurists had when they were looking at how can you create music and not use the instruments of the day? And the futurists were, you know, different Europeans who, you know, from the 20s or the teens in our last century, who were just making those explorations. And you have people today who are very much creating music, not using instruments. You know, so all of this has a very sci-fi relevance to it. You also have theorists who like to talk about the black experience in the Americas being akin to the alien experience when you're looking at movies.
Right.
That's very interesting. Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Using that as a metaphor.
Right.
So,
Yatasha, this not only a Mark. It's not only a musical movement though, but it's also a literary movement, visual arts. I mean, even Basquiat, and I look at his things, his paintings, and I think this is definitely something that looks like Afrofuturism. And also, I am a huge fan of Octavia Butler. She changed the world for me, because I thought, where are the black people in the science fiction? And there was she writing brilliant books like Parable of the Sower and so many other. Are there writers out there now who you would recognize, writers and artists out there now who you would recognize as Afrofuturistic?
Yes, there are many. One of the more popular artists that people like to talk about is Janelle Monáe.
Oh, yes, she's great.
You can reference, you know, in music, of course, is Erykah Badu or Outkast that people are familiar with. As far as visual artists go, there's Wanichi Mutu, who just had a show at the Brooklyn Museum of Art.
Right.
There's a John Jennings or Stacey Robinson, who did the Black Kirby exhibit.
Oh, yes.
There's a lot of visual artists, actually, who are creating. A lot of people in comic books as well. If you go to some of these Comic-Cons, you'll see that there are quite a few black artists who are putting together comic books and branding around different characters. A Kamau Mashele or quite a few people. I mean, it's really, it almost becomes a bottomless pit.
Once you know what it is. Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. As far as writers, you have Anette Okorafor, who's a fairly newer writer, and you can just go on and on. I mean, it's really interesting. It's a lot of great works that are out there. As a matter of fact, I just received a book called Paradoxa on African science fiction that was edited by Mark Bull, which I'm looking forward to reading. There's another
Could you
book,
say that book again?
Sure, it's called Paradoxa.
Okay.
Paradoxa.
Mm-hmm.
On African science fiction that I just received. There's another book called Nigerians in Space, which is actually a contemporary piece that I just received recently. And, you know, I have a book coming out called Rayla 2212 about a woman who lives, you know, on a planet 200 years into the future. So,
Oh, that's great.
So we'll look forward to that one.
That's right.
To come back a bit to Black Star, first let's do a little piece here.
Mm-hmm.
We want to hear the piece Dear Diamond. That features Karma that you did.
Yeah.
And just to get a feel for Black Star's sound, come right back.
I am here to let you know, or maybe I just lost my mind. You are clearly here for me. The same rhythm in a perfect rhyme.
And I don't wanna close my eyes. I know this is meant to be. Dear dying,
I know you remember me from another life. To be. This is synchronicity. Things in you I see in me. We can go where lovers go. Something kinda wonderful. You was open from the door. How much I love you, God would know.
Blackstar.
Yeah. Go ahead. All right.
More Mother Goddesses on the phone. Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Everyone.
Good to have you
Hello.
With us.
Hello.
So, Blackstar, I just want to talk about the music for a second and come back to the other parts beyond music. In this Afrofuturist world. So I'm curious, as you develop this and hear all these other artists doing this work, what role is this going to play, do you think, in the future of music? Literally. I mean, where is it taking it and changing it?
Is developing into more and more boundlessness, you know? Like the fearless aspect of actually pushing the envelope. When you're actually creating, there's no, like, lines or confinements, you know? Like, hip-hop is not just rapping a certain way, you know?
Talk about it.
Exactly,
yeah.
You know? And,
exactly.
When we speak of labels, it's almost like, that's why I'm digging the Afrofuturism culture, because it's almost like when you try to define it, it's so many levels and so many dimensions of it, the way as though it's like, it's safe to say it's almost a new hip hop, you know?
Right.
You know, the future.
Right.
Yeah.
And there
seems
to be an intellectualism surrounding it.
Yeah.
That really hasn't surrounded our music before. I mean, definitely it's always been a part of it, but a social justice edge to it, you know?
Yeah.
I've got, and a spirituality
yeah.
to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's all woven together. I think it's a very exciting time.
Me too.
And one of the things I've been noticing about it all, especially with the exhibit at the Studio Museum in Harlem on Afrofuturism, mm-hmm. was that it brings together the diaspora in the West and the soul of new artists in Africa coming together, and it's uniting something that really wasn't united artistically before in a lot of ways, in a kind of deeper, more profound way, because it's
uniting it differently because there has been unification before.
But I mean something that, because you know, what this is doing is putting together past, present, future that you were talking about, Blackstar.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking that one of the artists in that exhibit in New York was Edgar Arsenault, who put this piece together where it was just an amazing piece. He put together this piece that were these montages of the rebellion in 67 in Detroit, and then it was these overwhelming waves that came through it, literally ocean waves,
mm-hmm.
and underneath of it was this world that was created in the Middle Passage by people who went overboard and created this underworld
mm-hmm.
civilization.
Mm-hmm.
And just the whole idea of uniting all these things
right.
in ways that kind of tell history, talk about the future, what could be, what may be, who knows what is.
Well, that's the beauty, again, of his Trinity, because this concept of the Trinity,
mm-hmm.
because this really has been around a long time and it has now been given a word. A theme, Afrocentrism. When I think of looking at Joyce Scott's work, her early beating work, and how she has used science fiction themes to talk about slavery and our positions now, and how you use music
mm-hmm.
to talk about, you know, what's inside of you, but also about us. It's about me and it's about us.
Us.
Mm-hmm. So I think that is really profound. The young lady on the phone.
Yes, I want to get to more Mother Goddess.
I love your, the name is yeah. off the hook.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
It's
thank
beautiful,
you.
Young lady. Tell us what you will be doing.
Yes, what I do with More Mother Goddess is I basically take an approach as Zora Neale Hurston would do.
Mm.
And what I like to call my stuff is spiritual anthropology. And I like to take on the aspects of Afrofuturism. I feel like as far as a black woman DIY artist, I feel like that's what we have right now. Otherwise, we are unnoticed, you know. I'm a part of the Afro Futurist Affair, and we're one of the leading sources right now, you know, to go to for Afrofuturism, you know, and it's run by, you know, a single parent, Rashida Phillips. And it's always, you know, a struggle. It's always a struggle to be about Afrofuturism and then have artists who are not necessarily Afrofuturists, but also climb into that genre, you know, and sometimes it takes away from the essence of what we're really trying to do as far as seeking answers about ourselves and push and keep pushing ourselves artistically, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm just excited. I'm just excited for all these underground artists that's been doing so-called weird things. You know, I believe we have, right. Like...
That's what happened when I played my Sun Ra records. You know, my dad was like, what is this weird stuff going on?
Yes.
So congratulations to everything you're doing. And it seems like Baltimore seems to be a little bit of a hub for this. Black Star, what do you think about that?
I definitely appreciate the expansion points that Baltimore are incorporating in the movement. You know, there are becoming more outlets for new talent and different talents and stuff and different ways of expressing art. And I just commend it. I want to keep pushing it and rooting it on, you know, the flow.
Yeah.
You know, so I wish we had more time with this. This is something we need to do many more hours on. Because as I was listening to everybody speak in the course of this conversation now and hearing what Yatasha was saying earlier and all of our other guests, in some ways, kind of the seeds of how our future should look are in the artistry of the people who are creating this gigantic amorphous world of Afrofuturism through music and art and sculpture and writing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that it's speaking to where the world could be, where it comes from, where it could be.
That's right.
And that's the kind of beauty and power of this. That's
right.
So I think this particular movement is about to explode.
Right.
I have a feeling this is going to explode and to be a major kind of artistic social movement that is only beginning to be heard from.
Yeah.
Well, this is extremely exciting. I mean, as an artist and as the mother of a son who sings in this, his name is Jonathan Gilmore.
Johnny.
I know, it's incredible. it's like, I can't imagine. I look at you, I see my son, and I'm only 25, so it's a miracle.
now that's an Afrofuturist event.
Yeah.
For a 25-year-old to have a 20-year-old child. That's
science fiction. We can use this.
We can use that.
We can use it.
So we're going to go after this break hearing Black Star's River, which is
This is beautiful.
Lovely piece.
Trinity EP.
I love this piece.
Yes.
Trinity EP.
Maybe we'll have you back for that.
It's a beautiful piece.
More Mother Goddess and...
Yatasha,
Black Star, good to have the three of you with us, and we will be
all
posting on our website so you can link to all their work and see what they're doing and read their books and feel their stuff.
So inspirational.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you all.
Artistically bold and live one. If that first intent wasn't to get gone from eternity, got him selling fat profit. Listen, interpret the way that you move. Bigger the bigger that pie. Give it that way.